All right, everyone, we're back. This is the Victor Cruz Show. Back again, man. We've been gone for a little bit, but we are back. Myself, Mr. Paul Rivera has obviously... We're in a new studio, and he still manages to find the address. I think the studio heads have realized the trend. So every time they see his number come up on the call, they're like, all right, let's give him the address. He's got to be there, but I didn't invite
him. Listen, you guys weren't going to lose me that easily just by switching studios on me in the city. I'm here, baby.
Man. Okay, we want to start the show, first of all, on a serious note. We want to send our best wishes and just to let these people know that we're thinking about them in this time of prayer and need in Houston. Everybody in Houston, I got friends out there right now that basically don't have a home. They're flooded out. It's pretty crazy, the situation down there in Houston. So shouts out and blessings and prayers go out to everybody in Houston, as well as my brothers and I, PR's, our motherland, Puerto Rico. They're set to get hit with a pretty crazy hurricane.
But I mean, the whole Caribbean, hurricane, right? Like Irma. Virgin Islands, I think Bahamas. Like
St. Martin already got hit.
It's about to hit Florida, I think. Yep. You know, people. You know, the one thing I'll say, it's like, well, two things. One, obviously, I'll echo your sentiments in prayers to everyone, man. You know, what's been really dope to see in Houston is how people have banded together, you know, helping their neighbors, whatnot, and even people that aren't from Houston or Texas helping out. But take this shit seriously, man.
It's
like,
for
if
real.
If you're in Florida, it's man, for real. Like I heard, I was watching CNN. I've been watching this nonstop, and I think it was the mayor, I believe, that said, we can repair. No, actually, it was. Yeah, I believe it was the man. He said, we can repair your home, we can't repair your life.
Yeah, for
like,
real.
Take this shit seriously, man. Like, it's scary. Have you seen, like, some of the pictures and video of Houston?
It looks like an underwater world, yo. It's unbelievable, the pictures and the videos. And people were sending me, my friend was sending me a video from his, like, porch. Like, he was on a raft being, you know, pretty much getting him out of there. And he's recording it, and he's, like, floating. It's crazy. It's 5 feet of water.
I saw these two dudes,
not more.
These two dudes were in someone's living room on a jet ski, like evacuating someone.
That's crazy.
Like, think about
I
that.
I did see that. I saw that photo.
So yeah, man, prayers out to everybody in Houston, and every other area affected by.
And don't be, and on a lighter note, don't be super Puerto Rican and be like, yo me quedo, and you're gonna stay there. Like, don't be that.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, I was
get
here,
out of there.
I was here when this house was built. Yeah, I'll be here when it gets taken away.
Exactly.
Don't be that guy.
Please don't be that guy. No. Go north fast.
Absolutely. So everyone stay safe, stay blessed, man, and you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you guys, man. So back to current events. We're actually in a new studio.
Brand new.
Right?
Looks good, man.
Feels good in here. Feels like money in here.
I think the AC's on.
Yeah, it's different.
Feels good.
Yo, people don't know, right before we started recording the show, you went to press a button because you couldn't hear your headphones. And our engineer ran in here, was like, no!
Don't touch anything! It's your first time in here. You don't know where anything is.
He's writing an email right now, uninterrupted, in the other room, like, look, guys, but you guys said these guys were pros.
Can you please tell Mr. Cruz to stop touching buttons, please?
Hey, engineer, does Jesse Williams and Open Run record here? He's like, he's used to professionals doing this shit. He's like, these two Mickey Mouse clowns you sent my way.
Who are these amateurs in here pressing buttons, man?
Shout out to Jesse. Shout out to Open Run and all the other Uninterrupted Network. So we're here. There's a reason why we're here in the flesh, in person, in the studio in New York.
We are, not me in Chicago somewhere and us doing this, you know, remotely. Chicago did release me.
Okay.
But no hard feelings. I mean, this is the way the game goes. It is what it is. You just kind of, you know, take the good with the bad, and everything's not going to be sweet, and you kind of just roll with the punches. So,
talk to me about how that day went. I don't know if you remember, because I'm sure the day was a blur for you.
Vivid.
But you and I were texting, like, just randomly.
Normal, yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh, I just got a call.
Yeah, I just got the phone call. And you know what I'm saying? Anybody that thinks, like, Coach Fox is calling you in the day after the last preseason game to see how you are, just to check your body out, like... Nah, so he called me in and he thanked me. I mean, Coach Fox is the coolest, man. I mean, he called me in and thanked me for, you know, the effect I had on the younger guys and just having, he noticed a change.
Before you even go there, let me ask you this. I've seen you in other interviews say you've never taken a day in the NFL for granted. You've never felt like your spot, your Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner, you know, 1,000-plus yards, all these touchdowns, even like prime, you've never felt like your spot was secure. You've never taken that for granted.
Never, ever.
So being in Chicago, was it even a thought for you, like, hey, you know what? Like, I may not make this roster. I don't, like.
It floated through my mind. I'm going to be real.
As roster cutdowns are happening, mm-hmm. like, did it cross your mind at all?
As things are transpiring and I'm seeing kind of the reps I'm getting and I'm seeing, you know, how things are kind of playing out, I can kind of tell, you know? I can kind of tell that, like, okay, there's a chance here that I might not make this team. I don't play special teams, at least at this point in my career. So, like,
by the way, I'd pay to see you on kickoff team or something.
No, you won't. No, you won't. You can keep your money in your pocket, sir. Let's start with that.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I knew. I'm either going to come in and be the starting slot receiver or I'm not. Like, there's no in between. There was no in between. So once that displayed itself and that showed itself and the Bears let me go, you know, I kind of knew that.
So what's that look like? So it's, you know, they're cutting down the rosters. You get a text, you get a call from someone saying the coach wants, how's that look?
I get a call from a very, very modest young fellow. I forget his name. He works with the Bears, kind of young kid. I forget his name. But he calls me. You know, when you get a call from Lake Forest and you like, it's not in your phone.
Right.
And you're like, okay, this is happening. And I was just, the funny thing is, I was just there because I got hit during the game and was just getting checked out by the doctors
before,
doing the MRI thing and all of that. So I had left. So I was there early, left.
There being the facility,
okay. Yes. Left, went home, put my feet up, started packing some stuff up, get the call, and I'm like, okay. Go back to the state, to the facility, meet with Coach Fox. You know, he basically let me know what's up. And then we move on from there.
And let me ask you this. What happens if you don't pick up the call? You're like, I'm not picking that up. Like, and you just show up for practice the next day, like, hey, guys, here, like.
Oh, they're going to contact you. You're going to figure it out. They're going to leave you a detailed message. You're going to answer that phone call, fam. Trust me.
So one of the things, and shout out to, you know, Uninterrupted and some of the great work, you know, the Uninterrupted team's doing over there, you know, Devin and team. You know, J.J. Redick just did a documentary on the process of being a free agent, right? And I think the one thing that really stuck out to me is that as fans of the game, me, a regular fan of the game, when trades happen, when people are signed, when people are released, when people are let go, we look at it strictly from a sport standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now he plays for this guy. Okay, now he doesn't play for this team, whatnot. What we don't see and what, you know, J.J.'s documentary showed is you guys are human beings. Mm-hmm. You have families, you have real stuff, you have homes you rent or buy, or, you know, so what's that process like? So you go, you have your meeting, you get the news, okay, it's not in the cards with the Bears. Do you leave Chicago that day? Like, what's that mean for you?
So I had a spot. I literally was renting a property out there.
Okay.
So I had to, I ended up just coming home, but in that very moment, I had to start getting that process going, call the realtor, let that person know I'm leaving, figure out how to break the lease. Mm-hmm. I have to move and get all the clothes that I brought there out of there, mm-hmm. back to Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I shipped my car to Chicago, so I had my car, got to figure out. So there's a whole...
But it's real life shit.
Real life shit.
Right? Like,
people think that you just like vanish with one team and then you like pop up with another team and like you teleport there or something.
Right,
you know what
I mean? Right.
But there's some real things that have to take place in order for us to move on to the next thing. That's why you got to have a good team that you trust to be able to facilitate those things for you and is also smart enough to facilitate those things for you.
Yep. So let me ask you this, and you may not have the answer for it. I'm sure you've been asked this maybe 41,716 times since last week.
Okay.
What now?
What now? We basically wait. Just stay ready, stay working out, stay on top of my game. And wait for a phone call, man, and see what team, you know, has a necessity, needs a guy like myself on their team, and we kind of go from there. So we'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, I'm also going to be doing some TV stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, getting in front of that camera a little bit, talking a little football, putting a suit on.
Okay.
You know, a little cologne never hurt either while I'm on the show.
Is it like you and me? Like, is it like a Victor Cruz show, like tandem team thing, or is it just you? Like, how's this?
I don't think they asked for you.
So, like, week one, maybe, like, it's just you, and then week two, I come in with you?
No, I don't think. I think it's just me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just me. I'll ask.
So you're saying there is a chance. So let me ask you this. So although you're doing TV stuff,
mm-hmm.
In your heart of hearts, you're still a football player and still want to play if the right opportunity presents itself.
1,000%.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you mentioned, and I saw it, you mentioned you took a hit in your final preseason game with the Bears. What's the status of that?
Completely clean. Had an MRI. just for safety measures, because I got cut before I even had the MRI. So I was like, let me go get this MRI.
Okay.
Just so teams know that I have a clean slate, because I did leave the game early in the third quarter in the last preseason game.
I felt good when I saw you get up.
Yeah, and just walk off on my own.
You kind of tried to run out there, too. Like, you was like, I got this. Yo, okay, let me slow it down
a
little bit.
I'm so happy you caught that.
Yeah, no, I saw it.
I was like, let me just run off and see. Don't do that. Yeah. Just walk.
Let's just walk it off.
A little ginger walk.
Yeah, let's just walk it off.
You know what I mean? Let's just walk it off.
But I thought that was important, and that's why when we had our conversation, I had asked you, I'm like, how are you feeling? And you're like, I feel great, but I'm going to get the MRI just so people know I'm great. Teams know I'm great.
That was the thing.
What are you looking for? What's an ideal situation for you? With another team, another opportunity?
Well, an ideal situation for me is for me to come into someone's team, play the slot position,
okay,
be someone that they can count on to make plays, and just get another fair shot is all I'm asking. You know what I mean? Okay. Get a fair shot to be on a team that can deliver the football and trust that I can make the right play and be at the right place at the right time and play the position that I'm most natural. And if I get that, man, and I'm able to play the rest of this year and do what I know I can do, and we'll see what happens after that.
Okay, fair. Let me ask. So I always say this, athletes, because they have to be so dialed in on what they do in their seasons and whatnot. You have this tunnel vision. I'm not sure how much you're aware of or you're seeing outside of your own bubble, which is your job, right?
Yeah.
Have you been keeping up with the rest of the league and injuries and all that type of stuff? Specifically, your guy, one of your closest friends and a little brother to you, like Odell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm paying attention to everything. Obviously, I come home and put the TV on sometimes, or even my phone. Like, it's all over every social media outlet. So I watched the hit he took in the preseason game he played in. And it sucks, man. It sucks that, these preseason games are getting – it feels like they're getting longer. It feels like there's four long, hard games.
Let's talk about that. You're a veteran, all right? How do you feel? It's tough, man. It's like you got to get the reps right, but it's like, how do you feel about preseason football as a player?
So it's tough for me, right? Okay. Because coming out of college, I was an undrafted free agent. I needed every bit of those games.
You could argue those preseason games gave you your
shot. Brought me to life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I needed those games to prove not only to the organization that I was a part of at the moment, but every other team that I can play this game, that I'm good, that I wanted to showcase my talent. Mm-hmm. And I needed that, you know? And I needed all four games. Like, I wanted all four games. Right. I was like, I got these four games.
You'll take five if they had five.
I'd take another one at that time. You know what I mean? So,
but as a veteran.
But now, as a veteran, and looking at it from the opposite end, we do need preseason games. Let's start with that.
We need them.
Okay. I believe in them. But I don't think we need four of them.
Okay.
I think by the time, let's be clear, by the time you get to the first preseason game, you know what you have on your team. You know your talent level. You know what guy's going to be the quarterback. Well, maybe not the quarterback position, because if that position is in limbo, that could be back and forth.
Okay.
But you know who your starting running back is. You know who your starting receivers are. You know who your backups are. You know kind of the foundation of what your team is going to be. And then you use these games to kind of outline the younger guys, the special teamers. You kind of use the first two games maybe of a preseason to kind of gauge all of that, see if they can play the position, see how good they are. And then you kind of take it from there. So let's be clear, by the fourth preseason game, you know what your team is. You already outlined it. You're on your board in there with the GM and your other coaches. You know what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So do I think we need four games? No.
Okay.
Do I think we need the preseason in general? Absolutely.
Okay. Fair.
Absolutely.
Another major thing that happened, I don't know if you were under a rock.
Talk to me.
There was a trade that happened in the NBA.
Huge trade.
I know what a basketball fan you are.
Huge trade.
I know you're a
and
fan of
And one that
brother.
I didn't see coming at all, either.
At all.
Out of left field.
We're obviously talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, which, by the way, it's like they're 1-2 in the conference. So to do a trade in conference is
bizarre
within itself.
It's insane.
What did you think? What was your immediate reaction to the trade?
What? Well, first off, that was my immediate reaction. First off, when I saw the request, because the request for the trade came first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was like, what is happening? Like, what is going on out here?
Mm-hmm.
And then once I saw it was like real and it was about to happen. Because at first you hear the rumors and you're like, all right, they can't really just get rid of them. So like, I don't know how it works specifically in the NBA.
Okay.
But then once I saw IT and I saw the trade and I was like, oh, this is for real. Then I was like, what?
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, this is happening. And then I was shocked and I started to think about Isaiah. And, you know, you start to put Isaiah in the Cleveland jersey. Automatically, you start to do that as a fan, you know?
Of course, of course.
But it's crazy, man. And I think it's first of all, the Eastern Conference needed that.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a buzz. They needed something to get the – because right now, when you ask somebody about the Eastern Conference, they say LeBron James.
Right, of course.
And then whoever else is – they don't even name anybody else.
Right.
So Eastern Conference needed that kind of – uplift so people could think about the Eastern Conference in a different way.
I never put you on the spot on your own show.
What do you mean you always put
who
me on the spot?
Won that trade? Which team won that trade?
In my opinion,
when you say you're about to lie, by the way. I mean, I've been friends with you long enough to know when you say you're about to lie and try to figure out how to lie nicely.
Well, I just got, because of this and this only,
okay.
I heard that IT won't be back until after the All-Star break.
You have breaking news? You heard something?
Is this not public? Is this not?
Oh my God.
Yeah, because the head injury. People have been talking about this. This isn't breaking news.
Okay.
So with that alone.
Talk to me.
Boston wins the trade. You get a perennial all-star. You know when I get this voice, it's for real. When you get a perennial all-star.
Okay.
NBA champion. Okay. Been to the mountaintop.
Okay.
Arguably the best point guard in the league.
Okay.
To go along with the Gordon Hayward,
okay,
the Al Horford,
okay,
the what's Buddy from Duke's name? Tatum.
Okay,
you got some pieces over there. I don't know what the bench looks like. Avery Bradley isn't there anymore, which I don't know why they did that.
How much of this opinion of yours has to do with the fact that Kyrie is from New Jersey? Like
Kyrie is from New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen. He also has a signature shoe, which I both share in that same regard. He went to St. Patrick's High School in New Jersey. And he's also my guy. So, I mean, none of that weighs into it. I'm speaking from a fan perspective.
Fair. You said two words that got me really excited.
Fan perspective?
No.
What's that?
Signature and shoe.
Ooh, right on cue. Talk to me.
Let me ask
it
you
is
something.
Fashion Week in
yes,
New York
is.
City, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen.
It is. Yes,
let's,
it is.
Let's give a little run.
Hey.
It's Fashion Week, ladies and gentlemen.
A lot of people in town. We have a guest about to come on that's in town.
Yes,
Fashion Week as
yes,
well.
Yes, we have a guest today.
Let me ask you something.
Talk to me.
Two words. What do the words LeBron 15 mean to you?
Fire. Fire emojis everywhere, fam.
I brought something.
Ooh.
Yes, I brought something. Hold
Let's
on.
See what's up.
Yes, I brought something. Let's get them. Obviously, they can't see them.
Yo, you got a lot of clothes. You got a lot of flourishings
really
over
right,
there, man.
Listen,
I need an iron, too. That's
you are one of the most respected people in the culture. Fashion, sport, that intersection.
Talk about it.
I'm going to put something on the table, man.
You just going to throw it on the table like
LeBron
that?
LeBron 15 on the table.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind, our listeners can't see what I'm going to put on the table.
Okay. I'm going to give them a full description.
Okay.
Is this what you're wearing today?
Yeah, you see it. I don't want to make this about me. I don't want to make this about me. It's not about me.
That's
it's
not. This me. Is not, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, this
yeah.
is, the quality on this thing is so fire. Mind you. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no swoosh on here. Oh, there is a swoosh on the heel, but it's very
yes,
minimal.
Yes.
And then this is a Riri. Is this the one Ronnie worked on?
Yes.
There's a Riri zipper that goes from the front of the toe box all the way up and through the lacing and goes up into the collar of the shoe. This is a new fly knit, right? Called Battle Knit. Am I right?
I call it fire.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Just fire.
I'm
it's
trying
just
to give the
is.
People a proper description. And he's telling me about what him and his
More
friends.
More fire. Sound effects. More
he's
fire.
He's telling me what him and his friends call
Yo,
the shoe.
How insane is this?
This is fire, dog.
Oh, it looks
inside
like.
Inside the zipper says, Long live the king.
Long
you know what?
Live
I'm not doing this
the king. Listen.
Ronnie, I'm not
it
doing
It looks
this
like
shoe,
nothing LeBron or maybe any basketball
It's completely unexpected. It's nothing than what you would expect LeBron's shoe to look like. You could wear this with jeans. You could wear this on and off the court. It's fire. I have a little preheat
oh,
release
talk to
too.
Me. You never let me just have my moment,
no,
man. I can't just ever live.
It's my show.
Talk to me. Let me see what
so
you
I'm going to hand that back to
okay.
you,
this
and I'm going to
so
go
tough.
Get my pair.
This is so tough. This guy never lets me just have my moment, man. It's like. Oh, he went and delicately picked up the box out of his bag. What you got over there, kid? What you got over there? Talk to me. Talk to me.
Ooh. he'll be getting. I'm sure at some point
wow.
he'll be getting the Kith Friends and Family, up-tempo one from Ronnie Fox. It's the Air Max 95 gray-green colorway. The material. I don't think a Pippin's ever been done in that material with that type of construction before.
I will tell you this. You know why this shoe's so important to me?
Talk to me.
Listen, this is factual, I'm about to say.
Oh, God. Here we go.
My first year playing professional basketball in Puerto Rico, I wore the Pippin, a lot of buckets. I see this shoe, and it takes me back to a time where I got a lot of buckets in this shoe. A lot of buckets. So, me, Pip, it's kind of like both our shoe. You know, like it takes me back to a place.
I'll let Pip know. I'll let Pip. Actually, Pippin might be at the show tonight.
The Kith show tonight.
Yeah, the Kith show tonight.
Kith is going to be.
It's going to be a problem.
Listen, you know what? We're going to change this topic before we get ourselves in trouble and say something we're not supposed to say about shoes that aren't out.
We're moving on.
Speaking of changing topics, speaking of not getting in trouble, my favorite segment of your show is coming up.
Okay.
Cut his mic off.
Ooh, I got a spicy one.
I don't even know who you have for this week's show.
I didn't tell you because I keep that one close to the chest.
Cut his mic. For the people that have been on the rock and it's their first time listening to your show, what's Cut His Mic Off?
So Cut His Mic Off is a segment that we do here on this beautiful uninterrupted show called The Victor Cruz Show, where someone has been talking outlandishly or has said something that we maybe don't agree with on this platform here on The Victor Cruz Show with myself and Paul Rivera.
Correct.
So we take this time out to introduce this segment called Cut His Mic Off, where I go and tell you who I want to cut their mic off and why.
Okay, talk to us.
So with this segment of Cut His Mic Off, I want to cut off Conor McGregor's microphone.
Conor McGregor?
Yeah, I want to cut his mic off.
The notorious one?
He went in there and said that he was going to knock out the king, TBE, the best to ever lace up the gloves in four rounds. This is what he said. This is what he said out of his mouth.
He did say that. It's on record.
He also said that he's never witnessed an opponent like him, that he's a little man, and that he was going to mop the ring with Floyd Mayweather.
He did say all of that.
Floyd Mayweather proceeded to battle him in the ring, going forward the entire time, not running, not being defensive, going forward and punching McGregor over and over in the face. Numerous times.
So you're cutting his
mic
off.
This is my segment, PR.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to
let
you cook.
Finish.
Do your thing. Cook.
Let me finish.
Cook on.
He proceeded to go into the eighth and ninth round where Conor McGregor had no legs left. And he looked like those little for sale signs in front of the car dealerships. You know which ones
I'm talking about. Oh, the little skinny.
That one.
Oh, the little wobbly.
Yeah, with the air coming out of it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then for the finishing touch, let's be clear, Conor, the ref saved you. Because you were about to hit that pavement or whatever that ring is made
canvas.
Out of. Canvas. There it
is. It's all the same.
You was about to bounce off that canvas, fam. And the best ever TBE saved you from that. So before you continue to open your mouth about a guy in another sport, but I get it also. I know it's the sport of the game and you got to sell the fight and all that good stuff. But once it was time to lace him up and battle the king in that boxing ring, you got handled, man. You got handled.
That's so disrespectful, too, by the way.
Put your mic down, Conor McGregor. Okay. No more talking for you for a little while. To your next victory, no more talking for
you. Fair enough. You heard it there, ladies and gentlemen. Conor McGregor got his mic cut off.
We got a sponsor, though.
We do have a sponsor.
Oh,
this
man.
Is your favorite part of the show.
I love it.
They pay the bills.
Checks are being cut.
They pay for this 1942.
Budgets are rising. I'm not drinking 1942. I don't know what you're
talking
about.
No, not you. I am.
I don't see any 1942.
I am. We got to give a shout out to the good folks at SeatGeek. You know, football, of course, it's your show. Football's coming, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you're planning a day out with friends, searching for a last-minute deal, or buying a gift for a loved one, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I don't know if you do, but I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy Yankee tickets because, of course, when the family comes in town, they think I'm Ticketmaster or they think I can get tickets to anything. They hit me. I made it seem like I went through a bunch of, like, I called this guy, that guy, the owner of the team, the GM.
You got to make it look good.
I had hit Jeter because
he
I really just went to SeatGeek. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. Plus, the best part might be, every purchase is fully guaranteed. So best of all, your listeners, not mine, Vic, get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase.
$20? What's the code? Tell them the code, P. Tell them the code.
Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Victor today.
There it is.
That's promo code V-I-C-T-O-R for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So don't wait. With baseball season heating up, plenty of musicians on tour, and football fast approaching, now is the perfect time to grab some tickets. Shout out to the good folks at SeatGeek for being the sponsor of the Victor Cruz show on this episode.
Yo, shout out to SeatGeek, man. We appreciate all sponsors that help us get this show on the road, man. I think it's time for our guest.
Yes. I'm excited to chop it up with him. So we'll be right back with our guest, Mr. Maverick Carter.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to get right to our guest today. I mean, he needs no introduction.
How do you introduce him?
I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Maverick Carter is here with us, sitting with us right here at this table.
I would be totally fine being that you're an all-pro wide receiver. You could have mentioned me as I was an all-state wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
We actually have that in common.
No, look, y'all not just going to leave me out and dap each other up over there like we... I'm just over here like,
what do you have in common?
I was a wide out, too. Let's keep it
funky. No, get out of here. Here we go. You were not a wide out.
To his credit.
People in New York don't play football. He's from New York City, the Lower East Side. There's no grass.
Pavement.
Exactly.
Yo, run to that car and make a left, right? That's the touchdown.
Go to the Buick, running out. That's basically what we do out here.
Oh, man. But, yes, one All-State receiver to another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
First of all, thank you for joining us on the show.
Of course.
We appreciate it. My first question for you is, first of all, how are you? What's up? Talk to us.
I am doing great. Last week I was a little sick. I have allergies, but I would love to indulge in the 1942. Mm-hmm. Minus last week, I'm fighting allergies, and so 42 and allergies don't go
they
together.
Don't really
so
mix.
They don't mix. No. And I like my 42 straight, so I don't want it mixed.
And I speak to you. You and I speak multiple times a day. I've never seen you... or heard you say, like, yo, I'm down. Like, I'm sick.
Yeah, knock on wood, I do not get sick. Minus allergies. That's the only thing that
And it's
gets
that
me.
Season,
once
too.
A
the
year,
weather's changing.
Once a year.
It's back and
me.
Forth.
Just put you on your ass.
It put me on my ass. First time in 15 years, LeBron went to Nike, had meetings, and then he went from Nike to Asia, and I did not accompany him on either
you
trip.
You didn't even do the business trip.
I didn't even
oh,
do the
wow,
I listened
business
to
meetings.
Part of the LeBron business meetings from my bed on the phone.
Wow.
Gotcha.
The first time ever. So
wow,
I was down.
Okay, so you were down.
I was down.
So just so the people know, for the people that have been living under a rock in New York City, who is Maverick Carter?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a great question. First off, I love New York City. You guys are, this is your city, so thank you for having me here. I love to come. For the people who don't know, I like to call myself and fancy myself still a young man. I'm a young man.
I can agree with that. Agree
considering
with that.
The fact that I got a haircut and a shave yesterday and got rid of the grays and knocked the beard down, I'm a young man from Akron, Ohio. Spent my entire life up to college there. I was a basketball player, a football player, all the way through high school. Unlike New York City and Ohio, we really, 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 really play football. As Victor Cruz would know, I'm sure he's played with tons of guys from Ohio,
Ohio
State.
I can't even front on him.
It's impossible.
It's a football place. Yeah.
It's a football place. Yeah, it's no accident that the Pro Football Hall of Fame is 15 minutes from my house. Yes. So football actually was, like LeBron, was my first love. That was his first love. And I think he's still in his head thinks about playing football one day. We can talk about that in a second if you want. But I'm
we'll
from
gladly
Akron.
Take him on whatever team. Whatever team I sign on. Hey, listen, we got a package deal. Right? Myself and LeBron. They'll be like, who? LeBron, yes.
Absolutely. He actually got offered a contract during the lockout
yeah.
from Jerry Jones.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Jerry sent him
Jesus.
A letter with a contract for, I think it was a one-year deal for, you know, a couple million bucks.
Yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
it is. And
that's
I mean,
insane.
Like, not just like a, he had a, I think he has it framed in his office at home.
That's crazy.
He has a contract with the Cowboys that was for the season of the lockout of the NBA.
And that the irony is that season, once the season actually transpired, that's the year he won a Super Bowl.
Now, if he signs that contract, Jerry has to honor it. He goes and
1,000%.
Yeah, yeah. It was a real
official. It had
contract.
The star on the top.
Had
corner
the star,
and
many pages, the whole thing.
Let me ask you this: is he a tight end, a wideout, a defensive end, a linebacker,
He fancies himself. He's definitely a wide receiver. He's definitely a 20 yard line and end wide receiver.
But
he's a wide receiver, not a tight end.
I see Jimmy Graham kind of thing. God. Split him out, do whatever.
Yeah,
you need
a little
to do.
Jimmy Graham. For sure.
We'd have to check his blocking out if he's a blocking, do both.
He gets paid to score touchdowns.
Got it.
He's somewhere in between.
You can't just put him in for pass plays, fam.
No. He's somewhere in between Julio and Jimmy Graham, like right in the middle of that. Because he's fast.
This is not a bad place to be in.
Well,
he is fast, and he's 260 plus. No one knows.
No one knows.
The exact number.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
But anyway, I did play one season of football with him, one season of basketball with him. And since then, went on to work at Nike and been LeBron's business partner, and now running Uninterrupted, our media company.
So let me ask you: in your introduction, you could have gone a million different ways, and I've heard you say it, I've heard LeBron say it multiple times. Akron, right? Be easy to say I'm from Cleveland, right? Because everyone gets that.
Yeah.
You guys are always very clear to be like, what's Akron mean to you guys, and what has it meant to you guys as you sit here today as a grown ass man?
Akron is a place. Exactly what you just said. So, for people in New York or big cities to think about this, Akron is a place, it's a city, a small city, but, the way New York kind of treats the rest of the country is the way Cleveland treated us. Like the little brother, like, what, Akron, what's that? Nothing good or great or fantastic comes from there. And honestly, being from there and having that feeling, because we're like, everyone in Akron has Napoleon syndrome. Everyone feels like they're the little man with the chip on their shoulder. Like every day I wake up, like I got to prove myself because I'm from Akron. And everyone told me my whole life, nothing comes from Akron. Don't shit come from Akron. Nothing great and nothing that will be big or mean anything comes from Akron, because we're always kind of this, forgot about place. And we had the rubber factory. That was what Akron was built on long before my time. It was the rubber capital of the world, but that has since gone. And we were left with this feeling of like having to prove ourselves every single day. It's probably the reason that even myself, I think it's crazy, LeBron still writes and believes and in his heart says and means and believes it's striving for greatness. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of think you're great already. Maybe I'm going out on a limb, but I think most would say he's great, but he still wakes up every day going, striving for greatness and working every single day, like it's his first season. Like he's going to go into this season like it's his first season, like he's got something to prove.
So that's a perfect segue for my next question. How old were you when you took over managing LeBron?
Okay, we can do the math.
By the way, I remember seeing Mav in the Lenny Cook documentary when he played Braun.
He
he's dribbling
a little bit of a blowout.
I was a counselor at that ABCD camp because I was still in college and I was coaching the team LeBron put, and I was there.
Crazy.
For the whole that game was the first time I really felt New York City.
Mm-hmm. That was ABCD, correct?
It was at ABCD. Yep. It was in T-Net.
Those games get real.
The game was at Fairleigh Dickinson.
You already know.
Yep. And it was at Fairleigh Dickinson. So, yep.
After you.
Jersey. That's in New Jersey.
In New Jersey, exactly. New Jersey. In T-Net. Yep. In New Jersey. And, it felt like the whole fucking Brooklyn was there. Mm-hmm.
That's because they were.
Exactly. They were there. The whole Brooklyn was there. And it was like, we're up against something real here. And it felt weird for me because LeBron's my man, but I can't go out there with him.
Right. Exactly.
He's got to go out there and do his thing. But it felt like the whole thing was against him. Like nobody wanted that. But that's to LeBron. He can always get to that moment and somehow figure out another
gear.
He just went another place. Not only did he dominate him, he hit a 50-foot shot to win the game. Like, he just went to
absurd.
This is where we're at? Okay, how about this level?
Right.
Oh, this is the level y'all playing at? I'm going to go to this level. Mm-hmm. How about this level?
Right.
So His whole career has been that way.
But the reason, so it's perfect. The reason why I asked that, and you mentioned Strive for Greatness, right, which LeBron has made famous and has lived every day. I've always thought the most interesting thing about you has been you, would you say you're 24, 25 when you take over LeBron managing?
24.
24 years old managing LeBron, right? Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't know what to do
but
with LeBron.
But that's my point. The average 24-year-old says, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making more money than I've ever made. I'm managing my partner, right? My guy, my best friend.
My best friend.
Mm-hmm. Right? We're going to take over the world, and we've made it. I'm going to ride us off into the sunset, and we're going to make more money than we ever thought. He's going to win championships. End of story. You, I'm not saying you did this at 24, but you figured it out where you were like, F that. I'm going to use this as a platform.
And take it to new heights.
To do all these other, like, where's that thinking come from? Because that's not what we do.
Yeah. I would say it goes back to the Akron thing and waking up every day feeling like, okay, my career went like this, right? It went like, I was an intern at Nike, then I worked at Nike, then I managed LeBron, and everyone was like, you can't do that. LeBron can't do that. You know, I'll never forget. I always talk about this, one of the greatest quotes. I actually love the quote. The guy says, LeBron hiring Maverick Carter and his friends to manage his business, like, if he needed knee surgery, he hired his plumber. So it was just like, you know, it was like, you can't. It was
super disrespectful.
Way,
super
that's a great disrespectful. Quote.
That's crazy.
I thought it was funny. I remember it to this day. And everyone said, you can't do it. Then we did it. So I was like, okay, so I managed LeBron. Now I want to take the next step. What is the next logical step is to continue managing, but figure out how we can own things and be partners in things and start our, you know, invest in things. So we did Cannondale and we did Beats. And then I was like, okay, we were a part of something. We were partners building something. Now let's take a crack at us building something. So we started Uninterrupted. So it's just like every day waking up with that feeling of like, I'm from Akron and I live with that every day and carry that. And I want to prove something to myself. I want a feeling of accomplishment to myself. And, you know, when I first started, I had no money. I was broke, right? So I wanted to make some money. And then when you make money, you're like, but no, there's another feeling out there that is different than money, mm-hmm. that money can't get you, which is accomplishment. You want to win a Super Bowl. You want to feel that. Like, mm-hmm. and that feeling is addictive.
So you and Vic have that feeling? I'm still trying to get to that feeling.
You didn't win the championship in Puerto Rico?
No, you guys are there. This isn't about me, this show. It's your show, and we have a guest. I don't want to focus on myself.
Here we go.
But I'm trying to get to that feeling.
Just so you know, Mav, there's been so much insubordination happening with this guy. With this guy, okay? I'm file a complaint with HR later.
Yeah, Pete, you know, his name's on the marquee, not yours. Hey, you can be replaced.
And may, hey, Devin just stepped in the other room with the engineer. I may or may not have sent an email saying, can my name be a little bigger on the poster? It's like the Victor Cruz show, super small, like, with Paul Rebecca.
Your name's a whisper on the marquee.
Exactly.
All right, so I have a question for you, Mav, completely off topic. Or not off topic, but just a different topic.
There's nothing off. We can
nothing's
go
off topic.
Let's go anywhere. It's all off topic.
I have. Do you think the monies and the disparity of money between the NBA and the NFL is ever going to close the gap?
That is a great question. I think.
And if so,
it's
how do they frame it to get there?
I think, you know, the money in the NBA and the NFL, will the gap ever close? Well, the first thing your brain goes to, right, is you're dealing with much different size rosters, right? You're dealing with 15 and 83. 83 mm-hmm. is the number in the NFL. 53.
They get down to 53. Yep.
Yeah. Start with 90, 53.
Yeah. 90, you get to 53. So you're just dealing with a larger amount of people, though the NFL makes a shitload more money,
a lot more money than
the NBA.
That's a great point.
My guess is three times. I think the NBA is, I could be wrong, but I think the NBA is $3 billion roughly revenues a year, and I think the NFL is like nine. So, but it has.
In other words, they got it.
They got it, yeah.
So in other words, they got it.
The first place my brain went to is they got more people to play, but they have more money. Do I think the gap will close? I think it will take something drastic for the gap to close. I think it will take the NFL, which it feels like they're starting to feel a little pressure from players and not from culture and society, not just about the money, but about their sport. Mm-hmm. And what that will cause is the league and the owners will need to be hand in hand with the players to face this uprising of culture. You know, I read an article, I think it was in the New York somewhere, maybe Chicago Tribune, about Middle America is running away from football. So if culture and society starts to feel that way and that gets momentum, then the players, the owners, and the league definitely can't be fighting or arguing about money and this. They got a bigger fight to fight. So that may cause some movement on the money. Like, okay, guys, you're arguing about money. Here's your money, but let's go fight this other thing. So I think that thing could happen. I mean, it feels like it's gaining momentum.
It does.
I read the paper. I think I can't remember what article it was, but it was literally about how middle class is abandoning football. That's insane. I mean, and I don't know if it's right, you know, because you can write a story and take either side of that and go either way. But that could force the league and the owners and the players to really come together on, like, the small things that they need to hash out to face a bigger problem, like, are people not watching going away?
Mm. Exactly.
So we're super excited to have you here. So we're going to jump all over the place with questions. You haven't been briefed. You literally walked in. I handed you some 1942.
I showed off my sneakers, that's for a later day.
Disrespectful, man.
Fire.
Let me ask you this. I think people would be very surprised to find out the people you help out just to help out. There's no necessary benefit in it for you. People would be surprised that you've had conversations with Steph Curry.
Yep.
People would be surprised to find out that you've done business with Draymond Green. People would be surprised. Where does that come from? Because I think in the past it's been a situation where it's like it's us, them, it's I can't put them on because if I put them on, it dims my light. Like, your mentality's never been that. I've known you going on 10 years. It's always been you will help out and have a conversation with anyone.
Yeah, I think it comes from, you know, Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala put on this beautiful summit 2 weeks ago, or I think it was, when I came right back from vacation and went. And some people told me, like, they were surprised I did that. And I'm like, well, first off, when I started in this business of being in the sports business and the athlete business, everybody told me I couldn't do it, LeBron's crazy, shouldn't do it. And frankly, we felt like a lot of that because we were young and black. And so a lot of it comes from that place of I remember being that guy that was like, no one said, you know, you're just his friends. I mean, shit, last year, Phil Jackson called us a posse. And so it still exists. So my mentality has always been that if I can help young people who are coming from the same place that I am, I'm more than willing to, because if I don't help them, who the hell is going to help them? Somebody who's going to take advantage of them, and then when they're not hot, not be there anymore, that's who's going to help them. So, and I've seen that, and I know what it looks like, and I know what it feels like. So my thing is always, I will give you and help you with anything and the information and knowledge I have. It can't just be for me and my people. It can't be. That feels, when I go to bed at night, that would make me feel weird. Like, is this information and knowledge that I've learned and the experiences I had are just for me to die with? No, I got to share those and help other people. And especially, I'm especially keen, you know, like anyone else, to helping people who come from a place that I come from, look like me, and are trying to accomplish the same things that I did when I was that age.
Do you guys remember how you met? I introduced you to in Miami.
Yes, I remember.
And the conversation was exactly that. You said, hey, look, I will help you however you need me to help you. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything from you. Mm-hmm. Like, so you literally lived that. Like, I've always thought it's something that's not spoken about, and I've always said that people would be floored to know, like, the lengths he goes to help people that someone would be surprised
I talk to
with.
Guys all the time. I mean, I talk to players all the time about whatever. And, you know, and it's never about anything more than me helping. And, like, the experience that I've had, the knowledge that I've gained can't just be for me. I've taken full advantage of the experience I have and the knowledge I have to do all the things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it can't just continue to be about me and I and what I want to do. Because if it is, that's just not the way the world works. How does the world move forward? Well, it moves forward by people getting information and knowledge and then passing it to people coming behind them.
Exactly.
And helping others. You know what I mean? So if I lay down and die and I just kept all that for myself, that feels very selfish.
And that's how I feel about in the league now. Like, that's how I feel when I speak to younger players. Because it's extremely humbling when you walk into a locker room and a young player goes, "Yo, man, I wanted to, you know, kind of pick your brain about how you did it." And I'm just like, "How I did? Like, what are you talking about?
Did what?"
He's like, "All of this. How'd you do all of this?"
Of course. Right.
You know what I mean? He wants to know.
Right.
And I tell him, like, "Yo, you just got to grind. Your opportunity's going to come. You can feel it." Like, I felt it when Dominic Hickson went down with the ACL injury, when Mario Manningham couldn't play week three. And then they're looking around and they're like, "You're up." And I'm just like, "You're right." And you feel it. You like, this is the opportunity.
I got to go.
This is it.
And that's, I had that feeling when I left Nike and LeBron gave me an opportunity. I'm like, this is, I had that same feeling. Like when he fired his agent was Dominic Hickson. I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm up." Like,
yeah, this, exactly.
I'm up. So
this is it.
So this is it. And for you, I'm sure young players are looking at you going like, "Yo, bro, you did it on the field." They can grasp that. But what they're probably trying to get from you and Graz is how you did the other shit. Like
everything else.
I was talking with a friend last night and we were talking about you. I'm like, "Yo, I mean, really, truly max it out." Victor Cruz went all the way with what he did on the field, he maxed it out just as much off the field. Like, really became a guy and did it in a way that was very classy and everybody respected, not like a kind of shitty way or spread your name too much or did shit that people were like, "Oh, that doesn't work," in a very classy, smart way, and also did it on the field, which is unbelievable. It's very hard to do.
Matt,
it's
very hard to do. You have one of my favorite Victor Cruz quotes. You say he squeezed all of the juice.
You know, you know when you get out the shower and you got to ring the rag. He just squeezes. He just knows. It's a science to it. And I'm not even sure he could explain it because people ask me the same thing for about LeBron. Because, you know, we're squeezing it as much as you can, but not forgetting about being great on the field or the court.
Of course.
So how do you, it's like a little bit.
It's such a balance, man.
It's such a balance.
Even now, the comments under my photo are amazing.
Yeah, you can't post anything right now.
Oh, God. One comment was, I wish this guy would stop modeling and get in the gym.
You've worked out for 3 hours this morning.
Exactly. I had a full workout this morning. But I take one photo behind some Jeff Koons balloons behind me, and it's
not
like
your model.
Ether for this guy.
Yeah,
it's crazy, yo.
Hey, speaking of which.
Talk to me.
You want
to
say Jeff Koons balloons?
Oh, I'm so happy Matt's here.
Let's do this.
I say Jeff Koons balloons, ladies and gentlemen, because I just visited the Made in America Festival.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know, it's in Philadelphia. It's annual. Jay-Z headlined the final day of the show.
How was it?
Pour you a refill, Paul.
Did he look
your refill,
hey,
sir.
When he calls me Paul, he's trying to make a point.
By the way, how did Jay look? Because, you know, that's his first time on stage in 2 years?
No. I got you, man. I'm going to paint this entire picture for you. He went on the main stage.
I was just
curious,
is he a little rusty or was it good?
I was too, man.
I got you.
I was curious too.
I got you. He did the main stage, did 25 songs strong.
Wow.
Strong. Main stage, people going crazy. Did the 444 quality tracks on there.
Okay.
The tracks that make people move. And did Marcy Me and Moonlight.
Okay.
And then after the show was over, it was over, he walked off, went to the other stage. There was a stage like adjacent to that one.
One of the smaller stages.
Yep. Walked around, did a surprise B-side show on that stage. Brought Meek Mill out for that portion of the show.
In Philly, of course.
In Philly, rocked it. It was bananas. Like,
listen, let's get
Jay
to it.
Jay looked does, like vintage Jay. That,
wow, that's impressive.
That's what I'm asking. Jay still has it?
Jay still has
it. Some people thought he looked... I talked to one person who said he looked a little, he still has it, but he looked like a guy who hadn't been on the stage in a while, which is normal. You could be a little off.
And that's true. And I think it was because he hadn't performed, he hasn't really performed 444
that's
like
a good,
that.
Yeah.
So some tracks, he's still kind of feeling it out. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do the background track. You know, some guys have the background track, the audio playing, and he's over it.
Right.
He does it straight, you know what I mean? Straight his voice over the beat every time.
Let me ask you this, Mav. Is he the greatest to ever do it?
I know it's
a loaded question for you because I know your relationship with him and how you feel
about
him.
Putting that aside, he's my favorite artist of all time.
Okay.
So I obviously have a bias. He is my favorite artist of all time. So is he the greatest rapper is the question.
The greatest rapper of all time.
The only hesitation I have one hesitation, and it is because Biggie was so
I'm not denying that. Why are you looking at
you
me?
Heard him. When he comes on his song.
I would say Biggie also, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, Big is like, Big had two things. He had a lot of things. I'm sorry. But the two or three that I love is he could make a hit song and the flow is still amazing. Raps are still incredible.
Hypnotized.
Juicy. The raps are great. Mm.
He didn't even want to do Juicy at first either. He hated Juicy.
Jay always struggled with that, I'll be honest. When Jay went for a hit, when he did, whatever, Change Clothes or what's the one on Kingdom Come when he's driving the car?
With Danica Patrick. Lost ones?
Wait.
No.
Hey, Danica Patrick.
Hey. What was that one
called? Patrick. See, we don't even like it. No, it just, the raps, when he's not going for a hit, when he did PSA, which he was not going for a hit record, the rap is
phenomenal.
It's one of the best raps of all time. Yep. And that song just happened to be a hit. Mm-hmm. But Biggie could make hit records.
Show me what you got.
Show me what you got.
Show me what you got. Little, yeah, lady. That's the one.
Show me what you got, pretty lady. Yeah.
Hands up now. Wave. Exactly.
When Biggie would make a track like that and still rap, like, these are the best raps I've ever heard on a hit song.
He was talking that Brooklyn fly stuff on crazy tracks.
And Biggie, the other thing Biggie could do is, he could use his voice was actually an instrument, where Jay's voice is just delivering the most insane raps and poetry that you ever heard. Biggie could, it's the N-O-T-O-R-I, he's just spelling a word, and it sounds like an
instrument. Kendrick has that kind of
instrument
voice.
You could turn the beat off, and Biggie goes, it's the N-O-T-O-R-I-O-U-S, you just lay down, and it sounds like music.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He could use his voice like music. He could really rap, obviously, and then he could still really rap on hit on a song that you knew he was going to make a radio song.
Yeah,
and then he can go grab Mace and the Locks and do that. You know what I mean?
So I would say, I think, I want to say
Biggie's in another realm.
Yeah.
He's in another.
That's fair.
He made two.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
he's on the Mount Rushmore.
So it's Biggie and Jay are the two best to do it. Then you get right behind that, Nas, Eminem. I'll be honest, riding in the car, I've never been listened to a ton of Eminem, but when rap for rap, he's as good as anybody. Like just 100%. Listening, 100%. If you just, cause there's a lot of ways to judge a rapper, right? It's a song, but it's also to me, you have to like, if there was pieces of paper and just words written on the paper, Eminem's are as good as Biggie's, Jay, and Nas.
Agreed. So, exactly. I mean, I wish we had, we could, the funny thing is, we do this without the mics.
My posture is like, we at Carbone.
We do this exact thing without the mics. Let me ask you this, before we take it home, as I mentioned earlier, you have so much going on, Mav, that you could do other things. There's a lot of things you couldn't do. Why take on this thing called Uninterrupted?
That's a great question.
Great question.
That's a great question. And the answer is, because it's what I've been doing my whole career.
And he gets to work with Victor Cruz.
Exactly.
Paul Rivers, you know what I'm saying? Two professionals?
Makes it.
I get to work with Victor Cruz.
It's just a whisper.
I do it because this is what I've been doing my whole career, and I didn't even know it, but I realized it probably 2 or 3 years ago. I've literally been telling stories with athletes my whole entire career. That's all I've been doing. And the fact of the matter is, where I was educated is the best school in the world to tell stories with athletes. And where that is Nike. I tell people all the time, Nike, if I asked you what kind of company that is, you would say they sell sneakers and apparel. I would tell you, you're actually wrong. They are a storytelling company that happens to sell sneakers and apparel. Disney is a storytelling company that sells you movie tickets, subscriptions, and they sell advertising, right? Warner Brothers is a storytelling company that sells you movie tickets. Nike is just the same, because when you look at Nike's work and their advertising and through our whole lives, all what they have done is take heroes, athletes, the greatest athletes in the world, tell you their story and then happen to sell you sneakers. And that's where I was educated. I was educated at Nike. When people ask me what college I graduated from, I graduated from Nike. And so doing Uninterrupted is the same. We work with athletes, we like Victor Cruz, and provide them a platform and a media company that becomes their media company, where they can come and tell the stories they want. If they want to, you know, we did a story with Chris Bosch. He directed it. If they want to hold the camera, we will help them. We have professionals. We have producers. And then we will get it distributed in the right places and saw by the right people. The only thing we ask and drill deep on is the stories be authentic, insightful, and entertaining. And as long as it's that, we want to tell stories with athletes. We want to be what HBO is to writers and producers. We want to be that to athletes. That's the place I want to go tell my story.
Love it. I mean, the only question I have, I'm curious why every time you say athletes, you look at Vic and you haven't looked over at me.
This is the only athlete in the room.
30 minutes you've been here.
I just don't know.
You haven't looked this way one time.
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
Can we acknowledge the other All-State receiver that's at this table?
Hey, I have a follow-up. You just mentioned Nike. You just mentioned athletes. You talked about LeBron. What's this mean to you right here? I'm about to put in your hand,
about that LeBron,
man.
LeBron 15. Man.
What's this mean to you? Because you played a part. I mean, there's a whole backstory behind it.
The fact that there's 15.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's the first place to start. That the kid from the projects in Akron has a sneaker named after him 15 years in a row is the only way you define greatness. And when I say that, is like, when you look at truly true greatness, like the greatest to ever do it, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Roger Federer, you just look, you pull up these athlete stats, and if you look at Michael Jordan's stats, it's just like 10 years in a row of 80 games. Like, he played 80 games like 10 years in a row, and he averaged, you know, 29 to 34 points 10 years in a row, and he shot better than 50%. Like, it's just like,
insane.
Well, 10 years in a row, you
I
just
can't
do
shoot
that?
Better than 50% in the park out here.
You're just going to do that 10 years. So when I look at this, what it represents is not only a beautiful shoe, obviously the technology of this is the first time knit is used in a basketball shoe. This is new technology in the midsole. The design is insane. It's beautiful, but what it really represents is this LeBron's 15 sneaker, and it represents all of the wars and the on-court wars and the things he's been through. As I explain to people, this is how you truly define greatness. The guys that are battling LeBron for supremacy in the NBA, when he was battling for supremacy in the NBA, some of them were in middle school. Like,
that's insane.
That's crazy.
You know, like, you know, he was battling in 06, the Detroit Pistons, who went to six straight Eastern Conference Finals, won a title. They felt unbeatable. He was battling them in 06.
That was before he even got to Boston.
We're talking like Steph, Mr. Big Shot.
Steph.
Yeah. We're talking Sheed.
Tayshaun Prince.
KD, Kyrie, those guys like middle school, high school in those days.
100%.
And probably had his poster.
Yeah, and then when LeBron was battling Vince and Kobe and T-Mac and AI for supremacy as who were the best players in the league, those guys were in middle school and high school. And here he is today, going to put this shoe on in a couple months and go on the court, and he's still there. His presence is still there. That's what it represents. It's just amazing. And when you define true greatness, you look at Federer's career, or Jordan's career, or Brady's career, or Serena's career, and it's like, or Mayweather's career. Mayweather, I think he won his first title in the 90s. Like
that
is
crazy.
Absolutely, and he just won a big fight in 2017. He definitely had his first pro fight in the 90s. In the 90s, I was in high school. Mayweather was fighting professionally.
I might have been like six.
Exactly. And we're still here. That is actually greatness. And once you start doing that, it's very few, because a lot come and go. I mean, over LeBron's career, he battled the Pistons with Chauncey and Rasheed and Ben Wallace and Rip. Then he battled the Celtics with the big three, Pierce, Garnett. He battled them twice and took them to seven games. Yep. Beat the Pistons once, took them to seven games. Then he was battling Kobe for supremacy. He was battling T-Mac for supremacy. Then came D-Rose. D-Rose won the MVP, and he was the big thing. Yep. Then KD came. Then Steph Curry came. It's crazy. But all along, you're still there. And the thing that I compare it to, back to Jay-Z for a second, where Jay was – this is where Jay is the best. This is where he is absolutely the best. He's definitely the most clever and smartest rapper when it comes to through rap, through his raps, he can promote his life and his career. Mm-hmm. When he made A Star Is Born, he does a whole verse about how great all of these other rappers are. But what he's really telling you is, I've been here forever. I've never failed you. I've just
as great as
Eminem
they were.
Was here. They had 50 their run. Got hot. I hope Wayne keeps it. Drake is insane.
Nobody could touch Puff back when Puff had it.
Yeah, exactly.
But what he really was telling you is, I've been here the whole time.
But he said it before. He said, and when you're hot, you're hot. But when your feet cold, mine is sizzling.
The fact that Jay-Z is still even in the rap conversation
at crazy.
47 or 8 or whatever he is, is unbelievable.
Very true.
It's Tom Brady, Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. It's that same thing.
So that's it. So it's Bron 15 years in. We're talking about a dope shoe and how he's still
15 years
out here. Elite.
He's still considered 100%. The best player in the league. 100%. I mean, people argue it, whatever.
That's not debatable.
He is the best player in the league. And it's 15 years later. I mean, he's been in the best player in the league argument for like a decade.
At least 10 years, yeah.
Like, that's insane.
All right, so Mav, my final question before we have to wrap this up, because I don't want uninterrupted to get any fines.
No
or
overages.
Crazy.
He's like, hey, budgets. Devin's over here like, cut it. It's over. Got it.
Okay, last question, Devin. I promise. What's next? Mav, what's next for Mav Carter? What's next for Uninterrupted? What's next?
By the way, I was joking, but Devin really sent me a text saying, cut it.
Yeah, right. yep. Gotcha.
Next is to really, truly make Uninterrupted the media company for the athletes. That the athletes wake up and go, I have a story to tell. That is the media company that I feel most comfortable with. We'll make the story come to life in a beautiful way. It'll have a beautiful aesthetic, and it'll also allow me to tell it exactly how I want to tell it and what I care about, and to really build that and to become what HBO is to writers and producers, to athletes. That is our goal, and that's what we're setting out to do. I'm heading off to Toronto tomorrow. We're debuting The Carter Effect at the Toronto Film Festival.
Which, by the way, is not about you.
Which is not about me. Jeez, please. I've had so many people are like, you made a movie?
I told you what happened. People texting me like, yo, you guys made a movie on Mav? I'm like, yes.
Absolutely.
It's not about me.
It starts in Akron, Ohio.
It's a young boy.
In a dark alleyway. Mav dribbling a basketball.
Spinning the ball.
Oh, man. Mav, I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come vibe with us and hang out with us.
We got
to
get you back on.
I would love to come back.
Yes,
for a full
absolutely.
Hour.
For the full reason. Joint.
Listen, it's your network.
Whatever you want.
I would love to do this.
Whatever you want. So we appreciate you, P. Talk to the people, man. We appreciate you coming.
Happy to be here, man. I'll find out wherever the next show is. Find an address.
I'm not going
to
give you the address. So,
I'd be remiss to say, we have a special guest in the engineer room. Mav's mama is here.
Yeah,
Mav's
mama.
We got to shout the boss out.
Hi, Mama Carter.
I brought my mama.
That's what's up. All right, man. This has been the Victor Cruz Show. We appreciate you guys for listening. At Uninterrupted. Yep. Uninterrupted.com,
yep.
Uninterrupted.com for all my Spanish people out there in the world. And we appreciate you, man. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back shortly. Peace.